we are doing. The test or the inspection took place. Second inspection, they were happy with what we have done, and then we are just showing which areas in terms of the laboratory services are delivered. The issue on the rehabilitation of agricultural land, three areas or three instruments that we are using. One, there is rehabilitation taking place through land care, rehabilitation being implemented according to the terms of reference of the EPWP incentive grant that we get as a result of the number of, or dependent on the number of job opportunities that we create in the previous financial year through the implementation of the conditional grants. But we also have funding for the revitalization of the finance irrigation scheme. We indicate the main focus of the program under land care, grazing land rehabilitation, especially in terms of invader species, the acacia species, prosopos, and so forth. And then we also have felt enhancement program in terms of seeding for those areas and construction of work. So we are indicating, we are showing there work which has been done there in Francis Bart as well as in Tontaula Gaitsewe. We are just giving the statistics there, starting from 2015, and then the targets for the new financial year 2018-19. And then also, under the EPWP incentive grant, also since 2015. But we're also showing the, on slide number 69, we are showing the impact. How many people benefited in terms of how many jobs were created and what is the impact from 2015 up to now, as well as the number of people who were employed. And then we're just showing pictures of the land before in terms of invasive species, in particular blackthorn, and then what happens after that intervention, that at least the grazing land improves. But we also have the physical one in terms of erosion control, erosion structures. This is in Pixvika Semen. This work that we are also doing in terms of making sure that we reclaim the land that has been lost. But then there is a big one that we thought as a province we must inform honorable members. This is a project that was started in partnership with DAF, as well as the other national department that came on board, is the Department of Water and Sanitation. That was the issue in terms of water infrastructure was deteriorating, the main canal, as well as the secondary canal. There was the issue of water logging, high salinity of the soil, and stormwater runoff. So we're just showing pictures of what's happening. In terms of infrastructure, and the impact thereof was to deny the Northwest, especially the Darwin Irrigation Scheme, to get its fair share of the water allocation from the Falhats Water Scheme for the Darwin Irrigation. So it was therefore important to repair this infrastructure, reclaim that soil, so that also we can, and then we're showing pictures of what is happening in terms of water logging. Can't use that land, and then we have to come up with surface drainage. You will see some of the slides. You even see Lucerne couldn't even survive the salinity of the soil while it's salt tolerant. There's also issues around runoff water, which we have to reclaim. And working with DAF and the Department of Water and Sanitation, we had to address those in terms of rehabilitation. And if we look at the last slide number 83, it gives the total cost when we started to date how much we have spent and delayed. No, so that's the presentation, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, HOD. Honorable members, that was the Accreditation from Northern Cape, Honorable Sultana, Honorable Fandala, Honorable Kappa. Honorable Sultana.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Start with slide 17. Your reason for not spending 2.6 million rands is just not acceptable. Not at all. Approval for procurement not finalized. It's an internal challenge. Why was that not overcome? And then the next question is slide 61. The lab test, 30,000. 30,000 looks a big figure. It could also look like a very tiny figure. We can't relate, we need to relate that to a certain percentage of the number of tests that would have been ideally done. You just give us 30,000, we don't know whether you need it to test 600,000 times or 50,000 times. So just put that in context so that we have got an idea of whether this was a successful, you know, way operation or not. And then slides 67, 70 versus 71, 78 versus 79. I'll repeat that. 67, 70 versus 71, 78 versus 79. You will understand why I'm saying versus. Now, it's all very well for you to tell us that you did these operations with the intention, I assume, it's not stated by yourselves, I assume that the intention of going into these operations was to make the soil productive, something we have definitely steered clear of. We have not stated that. Now, after all these expensive operations, to what extent were you able to improve production from this soil that you have desalinated, you know, and so on, all those three operations? You have not indicated to us, because what we're looking for here in the National Assembly, in case you don't look at matters from that angle at provincial level, is value for money, return on investment in the form of socio-economic. That's what we focus on here, at least I for one. That's what I'm looking for. Expenditure, any standard six person can be given 10 million and they would know exactly how to spend it. We are not impressed. What we're looking for is what value has GovHealth, the people, gotten after you have spent 200 million. That's where my questions are. We'll give you time to think it over and give us appropriate answers. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I see that the area of claims here and Port Norlof and Alexanderbaai is also under this area that you serve. You know those areas. Okay, there are very good aquaculture areas that are there. I don't see you reporting back on them. Or don't they get the benefit of this program? And then, you know, there's the Richtersveld community that has also been a thriving agriculture community that that have now gone down to virtually nothing. I don't see you helping them in this mechanization and commercialization program. Are you looking at this, or will they stay the black sheep of the family? And I know those people want help. Are you going there? Are you helping them? And what are you doing there? Please, can you inform this committee?
Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief, Chair, but my worry, my concern is that the report is quite bulky, but to me it seems there's a lot of information which is not relevant for this report. But now the two things here, there is where you have 49% according to your plan, 49% of your production, agriculture is animal products. But I haven't heard anything that leads to that or that comes from that, that includes agro-processing, jobs created by that process. I would have liked to hear about that part. There's also an area where you have 120 people employed, I think over a period of 3 years. It doesn't seem enough to me. But I also need some clarity on that slide 13, where you have 50 new hectares for planting. I don't know whether something I'm misunderstanding to have them only as 50 new plant hectares. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Trapper. Three questions from me. Breakdown of particularly of 50 farmers that you help in terms of youth, women, and disability, including the support that you give it to farmers general. If you can have that breakdown in a written form, bring it to us in a written form. The two questions, they are for national department. The EPWP intervention work create opportunity creation. I see it's it started in three financial years. In Northern Cape, why is it happening in Northern Cape only? The second question is on the rehabilitation of Valhart irrigation scheme, which I know it might be started in 2012. How long, how many years are you going to take and how much money you are spending on this irrigation scheme? Because since it started around 2012, and the question is, how much are we spending on that irrigation scheme, and how many years more are we still going to see this project on the program? You can respond. You can start with HOD.
No, thanks, Chair. On the Falhats, it will take.
The national question.
Okay. Yes, Honourable Chair, we will supply the written response. Yes, the Honourable Member, the 50 hectares. That is the 50 hectares of new land that was never put under production, in addition to what has been produced in those areas. Like we've indicated on the slide, the new group for VH32 for young farmers in Francis Park, and then Pinil, and that 30 more hectares which were not under production, or which was land which was lying fallow before. And then we the presentation as prepared restricted itself to the terms of reference. We didn't include anything on animal production and what is it that we're doing in terms of production, the support packages in terms of the Nguni cattle, as well as the livestock improvement program to improve the genetic material of hitherto excluded farmers, and also work that we are doing in terms of infrastructure for those farmers, as well as the program that we are running in terms of commercialization of goats. So we just restricted ourselves and we didn't include that information. Yes, Honourable Member, we are helping the Namakwa area, Rechtersveld, because of the problems that they have. There's no production which is taking place, but they did benefit from the mechanization package. They also got implements. Unfortunately, they are not using them now because we are trying to intervene to assist them with the Department of Rural Development and the Commission to sort out their issues. Yes, we have supported the fisheries in Namakwa, in Namakwa and Port Nolloth. There will be some also support that is going for Port Nolloth. We have agreed with them to set up a structure or a monitoring structure to make sure that we address some of the challenges that are there for this financial, for this coming financial year. Yes, the support they are getting, not only in terms of the department, but the Department of our department, Department of Environment and Nature Conservation, Department of Economic Development and Tourism, what the packages that you also have, they are also assisting. There is a structure that we have established to which we belong in terms of coastal management. Over and above that, we are also supporting those communities who are interested in aquaculture, like in the Pigsliga Semi area, in the final term, working hand in hand with the Department of the Fisheries Division of the Department of Agriculture. So we only cater for that information in terms of the terms of reference. Yes, Honourable Chair, the issue of rehabilitating land is to put that land or rescue it and put it under production. For instance, in terms of the land care as well as the rehabilitation, removing of the invader species, what you do, you increase, one, you make sure that natural vegetation that hitherto existed before invasion, you recover it. Two, you increase the area available for grazing. That's number three. And number four, which means you also increase, one is the grazing capacity as well as the clearing capacity of the particular land. Increase the number of animals which could graze on that land. That's insofar as, plus we support it with fencing, plus also try to tell the farmers to practice rotational grazing, make sure that they know both the pioneer, the thymic species, grass with high value, which when they have to sell their livestock, it will fetch better prices. And or if they have to increase the weight of the animals, maybe for 30 days or for 60 days, and then they can get or fetch higher prices at the marketplace. Now, we indicated information on the slide indicating what rehabilitation work we are doing as a province. We brought in that, by the way, there is also Farhas, which is, according to records, the largest irrigation scheme in the Southern Hemisphere to date. Now, the same, I indicated that because of the infrastructure which is dilapidated, is run off, and then that scheme also supplies water to Northwest, the Tawing Irrigation Scheme. So it's about 2,000 to 3,000 hectares of water rights that is lost, which is not getting to Northwest for them to increase. Therefore, the repair and repair is to make sure that we save that water. Also, remove excessive salts through subsurface drainage system. But also take into consideration that we do not disturb the smooth flow of production. But also bring land under production by building the reservoir or water, the reservoir that will what farmers use to bring their land under production. I have not provided to date how much we have planted. Some of the areas that I've indicated in the Falas irrigation scheme, in terms of Fesatala, Ditaum is a beneficiary, Mafori is a beneficiary of that intervention. But it's massive work that needs to be. And also we support smallholder farmers 100%, and then the commercial white commercial farmers at a scale of 70% subsidy. But we also brought on board the banks, all the major banks, to say they must also play a part. I think there is an impact whilst we are doing this on the side of the Northern Cape, but we are also making sure that Northwest gets its fair share of its allocation. Luckily, to date, Department of Water and Sanitation has pumped in about 400 million to deal with the main canal that supplies water that also supplies water to the Tawi irrigation scheme. Thanks, Jay.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. And thanks, HOD. I think HOD has started to talk to the issues around the Falas irrigation scheme. The issue in terms of the maintenance aspects that are associated with that scheme and the age of this of the infrastructure per se, and how we are trying to look at the infrastructure to save water around the area. Yes, quite a lot of money has went into the Down irrigation scheme. And I think until such time that maybe government gets massive kind of infrastructural development money, we cannot go at the bank approach towards it. So everything is being done in terms of that maintenance part, Chair, to deal with the issues of the Falhats, which also, as HOD indicated, fits into the Down irrigation scheme. We will also be able, Chair, to give an outline, even baseline information of all the work that has happened in terms of Daurin irrigation to date, starting from the inception of the current parliament, just to indicate the different work that has been done, mainly on maintenance, Chair. Chair asks about why do we hear for the first time around EPWP, with the Northern Cape. I would say the implementation of land care programs is mainly through the EPWP programs, right through the provinces. It might have been an omission that has been made because the mandate we are having might not necessarily be enough to cover, so we use EPWP money to do it. That is why each and every time that we have to report to Parliament, we use the FTE jobs instead of permanent jobs, referring to the EPWP issues that are involved there. Chair, I would not be fair if I don't depart on a gloating note that agriculture has done it again in terms of contribution to the GDP, that we have grown 37.5 quarter on quarter again this time around, irrespective of the drought that was here in the Western Cape and the lower levels of food that we have produced. So it's quite positive for some time in terms of agriculture. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, DG. I think that's good news. Honorable Bandala? Yeah?
Yes, just two issues on what the DG and Abnel said, and I want to make an observation that these photos of the irrigation system is from 2008. In 2008, it already looked like that. I dread to think what it looks like today if no attention was given to it. And that's 10 years later. If the maintenance was done at the right time, it would not have been so bad. That's number one. And the other one is, I wanted to know if you know that in Port Nolloth, They have an aquaculture project. Twice they have given monies to the value of about 20 million rand to put up a fence twice, which is not working at the moment. And they put up a fence twice with 2 times 20 million rand, but nothing is happening there. How is that possible? How can it happen in a day and age like today? I mean, we know there's corruption everywhere, but this must be rooted out. It can't happen. And I mean, somebody must take responsibility for it.
Chaudhry?
No, thanks, Chair. We are aware of the issue raised by the Honourable Member. Yes, but the Department is not responsible, but we are working around it to make sure that projects like those do not fail in future, and that's why we have this intergovernmental structure that I spoke about, that structure, and of course using the expertise of DAV and other.
What do you mean when you say you are not responsible? Clarify the members.
No, it was another department that was responsible for implementation of the project. And then it was known as the market, supposed to have been a mariculture park those years, 2006, 2008, around that time. But we were not involved at that stage. In terms of that, we are more concentrating on inland fisheries rather than mariculture.
Thanks, sir. I would hope that the follow-up questions that I want to raise were not answered whilst I was briefly out, in which case I would take the blame for not getting the responses. It was on the very first one, that's slide 17. An under expenditure of 2.6 million to the disadvantage of 130 potential beneficiaries. You perhaps have got no idea how hard we battle in the National Assembly to get this department to get the kind of budget that it thrives on, being fully aware of the great need for more money for agriculture, given the high levels of poverty and food insecurity out there. So we don't take kindly to an under expenditure due to inefficiency in the office. That's why we want, as this committee, precise explanation for you as to why you underspent by 2.6 million rands to the direct disadvantage of 130 potential beneficiaries. So that if you're understaffed, or perhaps you are, your staff is ill-equipped, we know. Or was it a question of a tender going to the wrong person and therefore had to withdraw? What happened that you couldn't procure? That's procurement. And then also that slide 61 on those 30,000, were lab tests. I requested you to put that in context and indicate to us, you know, against which figure is 30,000 that you have given us? How many tests could or should have been done? But you're just giving us a hanging figure, 30,000, and you can't relate to it. We don't know whether it's a good figure or a low figure. Or what? Thank you, sir.
Okay, HOD.
Chair, with regard to the tests, the KFE indicated the target is 30,000 annually. That's what that's exactly what the laboratory tests, right? But then, the next bullet says average is 1,200 samples per month, but increased to 4,500 after the registrar's registration, which means after the registration there was more confidence. By other service, the people who receive this service. That's why they increased, the number has increased. That's the context. The target has always been within that, and therefore, which also means we need to look at whether the current capacity that we have will be able to absorb that. And then on the slide 17, Chair, as I indicated, we had the target, total target of 703. We were able to plant 422, and then the 220 could not plant. At the time of the plan, there was an indication of more 130 hectares more from the Taung that would come into, that we have to put into production. And therefore, it means the procurement plan was already in full swing. But at the time unfortunately, the acquisition of the farm could not take place. And then the procurement had already taken place. There was procurement of the seeds and fertilizer. And then we had problems with some of the farmers said, look, although we agreed or we indicated our willing to participate in the fertilizer, but we will get this thing of getting income twice is not working. So we want a constant cash flow. Why let's rather go for Lucerne, which you cut a number of times during its growing season. But also the advantage of Lucerne is also the issue of crop rotation. So this amount of inputs will have to work into the new production season.
The graduates on agriculture, sorry.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We will be looking, our target for the financial year is about 80 undergraduates to be placed at different enterprises. We are still processing, so that on the 1st of April we get into full swing in the implementation. We have a great event. We'll go with 80. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chairperson, I think as a committee we must do our oversight role, and if we hear about things like the fence being built two times 20 million rand, can't we get a report on it, a full report, and we can have a look into it, see what's going on, so we can also make sure it doesn't happen again in future. I mean, I think it's very important that we give that some attention, because we are going the aquaculture and the mariculture route, and if they have learned a lot of lessons, we also must learn those lessons. Thank you.
Edward, which department was responsible?
Honorable Chair, at the time it was the Department of Economic Affairs. We had an institution which that was responsible for helping the province to develop the mariculture in the province, and also as a precursor to looking at the coast and the harbour for the future. At the time, it was Economic Affairs.
Means it's Economic Development, which must give the report. So we'll get that report from that the Portfolio Committee on Economic Development. Thank you very much, Northern Cape. I think the issue of Falhas will have to get those budget DG and its baseline when we come in as a parliament. Obviously, the project started around 2012. And how long is it going to take? Just to understand the plan of scheme, because you can't have a project that does not end. It can't happen. it must end. Thank you very much, Northern Cape. Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Manda Dagada, Acting Chief Director for Farmer Development. My MEC has rendered an apology and HOD to due to the tabling of the budget today.
We are not going to allow you to present yet. Chief, we want the HOD at least we'll schedule from Mpumalanga when they are ready and available.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Le Bobo.
Chair, whilst we are waiting for Limpopo, maybe the acting chief director, he must also pass this message. Because you see, there's a portfolio committee in parliament. And we want to interact with people who take decisions. Not people who say to us, I don't know, I will go and consult, I will ask this and so on and so forth. So we can't be wasting that time. If the MEC is not here, we can't compromise with the HOD. If they are both not here, then they mustn't come. They must simply send an apology and request the committee to give them another date. Because now you came to Cape Town, you have spent our money and so on for nothing.
D.D. Mabuza is the Deputy President of the Republic of South Africa. There is somebody who's called the Premier there now. So we'll wait for the MEC. We want the MEC, we don't want the Premier. Because the Premier does not even know about this, how they transfer this conditional grant. HOD? Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Perhaps let me start by rendering an apology from the acting MEC for Agriculture and Rural Development in Limpopo Province. Today is the budget day. The MEC of Finance is presenting the budget to legislature. That is why the Honorable MEC could not be with me today. I've got Mrs. Giovanni. She is responsible for agricultural development, also coordinating the conditional grants for CASP and Ilimalichim. The presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, has been confined to the terms of reference, as indicated. There may be other areas that we may have been wanted to include, but I would propose that we can perhaps do that as we answer to the question. And the content, we'll look at the background, the implementation or progress on the physical implementation for the current financial year, which is 2017-2018. It will also look at the food security progress, particularly on food security indicators, and also the planting plan for 18-19 financial year, progress on commercialization of black farmers, progress on the rehabilitation of agricultural land in the province. And Honorable Chair, we thought perhaps it will assist if we also share with the Honorable Members the Army WEM. We have an outbreak currently in the province which we are trying to manage. The placement of unemployed graduates also will be covered, as well as the challenges that we have identified and mitigation measures, especially around the implementation of the food production initiative through the FESACLAL. This is just by way of background. I hope that the colors will be legible, just to provide the province, how it looks like in terms of the districts and their strengths, in terms of particularly the crop production. And because we are a province that is very, very minimal in terms of livestock production, is only in the Waterberg area for a number of reasons. And also in Skukune, to a certain extent, we've got some few livestock, small and large livestock, where it's only for home consumption. There's no commercial purpose production in those parts of the province, and even the further north. The further north is even worsened by the fact that it's in close proximity with the Kruger National Park. As honorable members would know, the challenges that we're having with the foot and mouth disease. This is just the policy imperatives, Honorable Chair. I may not need to go through this, but just to indicate that as a province, this food production initiative support, we view it as a contribution, or it should contribute to the national priority of reducing the number of vulnerable households who are food insecure by 9.5% by 2019-2020. And also, we're saying that what we are doing, we are focusing on food crops such as maize, sorghum, beans and vegetables and fruit, which are the commodities for the province. And critically, honorable members, we targeting the communal land that is under traditional authorities. Limpopo rural as it is, we've got quite a number of, or extensive number of hectares that are owned by the traditional leaders. And that is where potential has been identified in terms of promoting own food production, and also focusing on land reform projects that are unproductive. in terms of the progress, Chair, for the 2017-2018 financial year, we had a target as a province of 13,006 hectares. And it's broken down in terms of the district, the five districts of the province. I'm not going to go through each and every district. They add up to the total of 13,000. And at the end of February month this year, the hectares that have been planted amount to 10,745 hectares. And I must indicate, Chair, in this 10,000, we have the hectares that the department assisted the farmers in terms of mechanization, which totals about 2,000 hectares. And other hectares, which is around 8,737 hectares, we thought we need to indicate this. It's where the department has provided the seeds, the fertilizers, and other production inputs, and some of the farmers contributed to, you know, cover the mechanization costs. So that if you add the 8,700 and also the 2,000 where the department had actually supported with the tractor services, as we call it, they make up to 10,745. We are in the process of validating that as a requirement, especially at the level of ourselves and the National Department of Agriculture and Forestry in terms of the means of verification for that. And that validation process is currently underway, and it will be concluded by April 2018. When we further look at the other support that we have provided in terms of the initiatives for food security, when we look at the number of smallholder producers that we have supported for the third quarters that are currently under review, we have a target, for instance, for the quarter one, which I may not necessarily have to go through each and every quarter, but just to indicate that for the first and second quarters, we managed to get to the targets that we had set ourselves. And the challenge that we experienced was in quarter three in terms of the number of producers that we have provided support. And the reason we did not achieve that, or we remained at 86%, was that we experienced challenges in terms of the late deliveries of the production inputs that have been ordered. Furthermore, we looked at the number of households that we provided with the food production initiatives. This is now even beyond the seeds and fertilizers. In here we include also the poultry production and other food security initiatives. And for quarter one and quarter two, we tried to cover the targets, except for quarter three, also, which relates to that late delivery of the production inputs, as I've already indicated. This is just the pictures when the seeds, I think this the bags are the bean seeds, the dry bean seeds, and the green stuff is the seedlings that we had provided to the farmers. Now, in terms of the budget performance, and the reason one has flagged the Ilimalizima is that we're using this grant in the main for this particular purpose of providing production support to the households and our farmers in the communal areas, and even the farmers that are planting or producing the fruit. We had an allocation of 67 million of the total grant, and the expenditure to date is 44 million, which is around 66%. I'm not going to go through that. It just indicates the performance per district, because this assists us also in terms of monitoring which districts are doing well and which others are lagging behind, and what interventions can we put in place. Now, moving to the planting plan for 2018-19, we're targeting a total of 13,654 hectares. With that breakdown, and also looking at the number of the beneficiaries that we are estimating, 8,852, the highest being Kukune, with a total hectares of 4,849, followed by Waterberg, and then Mobani, Capricorn, and Kukune, Waterberg, Vembe, Mobani, and Capricorn. This, honorable member, just gives an indication of the breakdown as to what we'll be looking at in terms of the tractors that we are utilizing. We're still having that number of 72, the government fleet, the 72 we still have, although it has got challenges here and there in terms of the breakdown, but we are targeting to cover a total of 3,300 hectares with the government fleet. And to augment that, we're looking at 10,351, wherein we will call out the private tractor services, which process has actually started this year for this current or the planting season that is just finishing. It will continue into the 18-19 planting season. And we have got, we indicated also the estimated beneficiaries that we are going to assist to plant. With the private tractors, about 6,875, and for government fleet, we estimating around 1,977 beneficiaries. Again, also, we were required to indicate the readiness, the level of readiness for 18-19. We went to, as far as breaking it down into the number of the seeds that we are going to order, the seedlings, the fertilizers, including also the mechanization services that we'll be providing. As I indicated, we are looking at a total number of beneficiaries at 8,852, and the tons, the quantities of the seeds that we're going to order and distribute to the farmers, a total of 201 tons. The seedlings, about 2.2 million, that will range from, you know, different kind of vegetables, including some of the fruit trees that the farmers have expressed interest in planting. In terms of the fertilizers that are planned to be ordered and distributed to the farmers, we're looking at a figure of 1,378 tons. And here we provided just the normal or the usual 72 tractors, because in terms of the private tractor services, we should still work out the quantities as to how many can we cover with the hectares that we have identified. And we said that because we have already the database of the private tractors, and we've got also a contract on the supply and delivery of the season fertilizers, we could put the readiness at 90%, because there is still, of course, some work that needs to be done. In terms of the distribution plan for the seeds and seedlings, usually we do the procurement at the district level. We get the local agricultural offices to interact with the traditional leaders and also the various farmers association, which they also assist. They assist a great deal, Honorable Chair, because they are the ones who know who is farming where, and they're able to confirm and assist us in, you know, giving the seeds or production input to the deserving farmers. And we usually do the distribution at least 2 months before the start of the planting, so that we do not delay their plans, especially for those that would want to make own contribution. In terms of the feedback on the impact of the drought resistances in the province, indeed we have the Wima maize cultivar from the ARC. For 17-18, we managed to procure 15.8 tons, and this was mainly for the farmers in Mopani. Mopani has been one district that does not come out of the, you know, the dryness. There's a challenge. Even if some parts of the province experience adequate rains, Mopani, you know, for some reason still continues to experience, you know, challenges in terms of the adequacy of the rainfall. And we're saying that so far we are unable to actually come to a determination where, as to whether the Wima that has been planted had, you know, improved the yields, perhaps, because we're saying the overall yields are actually dependent on the overall crop production. And we're saying that because so far we only have the Wima in terms of the maize, as a province, we still have a belt where we're producing sorghum. Some communities are producing sorghum in larger quantities for purposes of food, home consumption or food security. Just the pictures in terms of the maize that has been planted so far. With regards to the commercialization of black farmers, we also had identified and committed to support 50. And in this instance, Chair, perhaps I need to qualify these farm entities, because we had enterprises where we have got more than one. It's not individual farmer. It's a group of farmers, but their operation are largely commercial. For instance, the Mwanedi area, wherein we've got close to about eight farming cooperatives that we are supporting, and they are actually commercializing. They've also started to, you know, increase their production. There are several programs, capacity building, and even the funding that we're providing for them to commercialize. To date, we have conducted the farm assessments on those enterprises that we're targeting to commercialize. We know what their needs are, and we also managed to conclude the profiling. And also, again, we looked at the about 10 farming enterprises which we have identified, and we've already started to provide the necessary support in terms of the necessary you know, certification requirements. For instance, your SA GAP and even the global GAP, so that they can be able to get their system in place for purposes of meeting the local market demands as well as the export. We're taking them through also the capacity building program on farm management improvement, as well as the infrastructure to expand their current primary production. And for this financial year coming, the 2018-19, through our CASB business plan, of course, which has been approved by DAF, we will be looking at about 10 million that we have already identify the activities that the money will be spent on, because like I said, some of these farmers have already started the progress. If you go to their enterprises, they're actually operating as commercial farmers. They just need to be assisted and need capital, you know, injection here and there for them to become fully commercialized. And again, in addition to the 10 million from the equitable share, we will be setting aside the 18-19 still, so that we can be able to upscale the support programs that we have started. This is just to indicate the critical areas or key areas for support that we have identified. Improving record management systems, because this is the area that is lacking in terms of most of the farmers, especially even also around the issues of traceability, the procurement of enabling production, you know, resources, improved expansion on primary production through infrastructure, as I've already alluded to, and also production inputs where necessary. In terms of the progress on the recruitment of veterinarians, we have made quite significant strides, Honorable Chair, in terms of the or building the capacity of veterinary services in the department as you compare to where we're coming from, I think, 3 or 4 years back. Currently, all the critical posts in that particular program have been filled. We're only remaining with around 3, which we are in the process of trying to fill. And the reason I put the engagement with the provincial treasurer is that at the provincial level, there is a decision to reduce the compensation of employees. And the process that has been put in place is that for each and every post that the departments have to, you know, fill, we need to make a business case to the provincial treasury to get their approval or sanction for us to fill those posts. And as Department of Agriculture and Rural Development in the province, we have been a culprit, or we are viewed as one of the largest in terms of the COE in the province, and we are compelled to actually, like I say, have to engage the treasury before any post can be filled. Again, we thought we need to also indicate that we have the province has an MOU or cooperation agreement with the Republic of Kenya. Back in, I think it was signed back in the years, about 10 years ago, and out of that agreement, there was this agreement to train also the veterinarians at the University of Nairobi. We are in the, I think, the 5th year of the program as a department, and we have the graduates so far that have graduated, they've completed their studies. They are now in the process of getting the full recognition and registration with the South African Veterinary Council. And again, also from the departmental coffers, we managed to sponsor the study of 2 veterinarians which have completed their studies with the University of Pretoria. They've registered and they are now with the department. We have got 5 veterinary doctors which are currently on community service. In terms of the recruitment of extension officers, the current staff complement, Honorable Chair, just on extension officers, we've got a number of 448 distributed according to the districts as outlined there. We've got quite a number in Vembe, followed by Mopani and Capricorn. And currently sitting at a vacancy rate of 5.88%, and we have, for this financial year to date, managed to appoint additional 8. And this 8 is basically to fill the posts where the vacancies were created through retirements in the May, and maybe some, you know, natural attrition cases as well. And like I indicated, we are in the process. We are engaging the Treasury to approve the filling of 21 posts, particularly in extension services, and where the plan is to conclude that process in the 2018 financial year. With regard to management of animal diseases, we are one of the provinces that are grappling with quite a number of animal diseases outbreak, the FMD being the one. We also have issues of anthrax in certain pockets of the province. And the disease control is mainly by movement control, the surveillance, vaccination, dipping, and the actual treatment. And we thought we should highlight the fact that much as we're doing everything we can, especially around the movement control, we're still having the challenges, especially in the northern part where the areas are adjacent to the Kruger National Park because of the fences that are not in the good state. They pose a challenge because in some instances, you know, you have the buffaloes and other wild games, you know, escaping from the park and mixing with the cattle in the nearby villages. We say Kruger Park perimeter fencing and demarcation fences is needed to separate the livestock in the FMD control area from those in the FMD free area, also need to be upgraded, because we have zoned the areas along the Kruger in terms of the areas that are actually the red zones or the red line and the yellow lines, where we're trying to restrict or confine, you know, the movement into those areas so that we don't get the cattle, for instance, in those areas to mix with the other cattle in the FMD free zone. Vaccination for controlled animal diseases is provided, of course, by government for free to the communal areas. And to date, Chair, at the end of the third quarter, we managed to conduct FMD vaccination session on 263 vaccination sessions out of an annual target of 148. And this was prompted by the fact that there were some signs or early warning signs of the possibility of the outbreak, and the vaccination was actually to try and, react to that. And following the fact that we had outbreaks in the era of Mopani during the 2016-17 financial year. Again, we conducted dipping sessions on communal cattle totaling about 4,632 against a total of 4,450. We decided as a province or as a department that it's very, very critical to also improve the handling facilities or the infrastructure so that we can be able to assist the communal farmers in particular to deal with the diseases management. Even if they can get their own medication or vaccines, they should be able to have those facilities where, as and when it's needed, they can be able to, do the vaccinations and several other treatments. So to date, we managed to complete about 21 handling facilities. We had targeted 27 for the financial year, and so far we managed to complete 21 facilities. In terms of the inspections on abattoirs and processing facilities, for compliance purposes, we managed to do 438 to an annual target of 512. And perhaps maybe just to indicate to the members that because of the story that we have, or the case, it's not a story, of course, the case on the enterprise facility in terms of listerosis. When we checked, our last inspection of the facility was done in January, and that looked mainly at the compliance to the export. The rest of the inspection was conducted by the environmental officials from the municipality, including also the Department of Health in terms of the other hygiene standards. On the rehabilitation of agricultural land in the province, we are looking at three key areas, rehabilitating the land so that we can continue to plant, or the farmers can continue to produce. And we also look at the clearing of the invasive plants so that they can be able to get, especially the issues of water, address the issues of the water shortage, because it has been proven that the alien invasive plants also do affect the availability of water in, you know, certain instances. Up to the third quarter, we rehabilitated 10,000 hectares out of a total of 14,000, and we believe that by the time the financial year ends, we should have been covered all the areas that we have targeted. And in terms of clearing the alien invasive plants, we managed to do 1,461 hectares out of an annual target of 2,200, and we believe that we are on course. We should be able to cover those hectares. In terms of the fall armyworm, we had reported cases, I think as from December. There were a few, you know, sporadic incidences, but as, you know, from January up to now, we're getting farmers to report, and I think the areas or the cases are increasing. So far, as by the time of when we prepared this report, we had a total of 9,848 hectares that have been affected by the worm, and that has affected about 1,772 farmers or the fields. We had consulted the National Transferring Officer because this is what we had not necessarily planned. We were even discussing outside that we thought the work that we did, you know, last year, we managed to get the worm or to put the worm down. But because of its cyclical nature of development, the reports actually have proven that it managed to hibernate, and because we did not have cold winters that could completely put the worm down, as the after winter, when the temperatures began to warm up, then it developed further, and that is why we have certain, you know, incidences or the outbreaks in certain areas. We had reprioritized about 9 million so that we can help the farmers to with the procurement of the pesticides. We also looked at also other detected exotic pests in the province, because it's not only the fall armyworm, there are other pests as well. So far, 22,500 liters of insecticides, the chloropyrifos, and 10,000 liters of mercaptothion have been procured, and we have distributed, and others we're still distributing. As and when the farmers report, we go and check, confirm, and give them the necessary chemicals. So this is just the latest photos of the worm in the areas that have been reported. On placement of unemployed graduates, we have made quite a significant progress in this regard. We managed to agree with the total number of 25 commercial enterprises or commercial firms wherein they will be placed for purposes of experiential learning, you know, skills transfer, so that they can have exposure also, you know, to the day-to-day running of commercial day-to-day running of those commercial farms. Because I think, as Honorable Chair has alluded to earlier on, the objective here is to also capacitate them that they can become farmers. We they are not looking at us to provide employment, but we hope that from that they should be able to farm on their own. We have so far prepared an advert, which we are waiting Provincial Treasury's approval. It's because of the process that I have outlined. But in terms of the funding, because we're going to fund that through the CASP as agreed with the National Transferring Officer, it's not about the approval of the budget, but it's just as a procedure to approval of the processes that we're going to embark on. Just challenges, as I've indicated, we are one of the provinces that have got or experiencing challenges of an unpredictable rainfall. I remember, Honorable Chair, when we were here, I think last year, October, presenting the state of readiness, the predictions at that time was that we're going to receive you know, adequate rains, especially during the summer crop planting. But it did not necessarily happen like that. We had very, very late rains in the province, which also were followed by, you know, the dryness in January month and the intense heat. But we managed to, you know, cover some of the hectares. The drought also, the migratory pests, the armyworm, as I've indicated, and other pests that are critical increasing demand on mechanization support, we're saying it's a challenge because we need to actually explore, you know, sustainable solutions to that, because if more people are going or we are assisting, the more support we provide, the more the demand increases. So we need to think outside the box and see how we can, you know, continue to assist our communities, but within the resources that are within our disposal. The mitigation, just to say, will continue to provide advisory services to farmers based on the, you know, the reports of the South African Weather Services. Continue training farmers and field officers on climate change in collaboration with South African Weather Services. We have already started, Honourable Member, from last financial year, you know, with this training program, because we think it's very, very critical. We need joint efforts between us as government and the farmers so that we understand the challenges that are brought by this climate change. Because if it's not drought, it's the floods and also the pests, you know, and everything else. We're looking at the comprehensive disaster management plan. As a province, we hosted a provincial indaba in July last year to look at these disasters, especially the ones that affect the agricultural sector. It was quite a successful indaba. We had the sector partners, everyone else, and we agreed on a plan, which we, much as it's a long-term plan, because it includes also the issues of capacity, as I've already indicated. How do we, you know, respond timeously to the disasters, and also critically, the mitigation. You know, what is it that we can put in place to cushion or to reduce the impact of the disasters when they strike. So that implementation plan, we are building it into our programs for starting this coming financially onwards, so that we are able to you know, assist the farmers and also the communities to be alive of the changes that are brought also by the climate change. Critically encouraging more own contribution on the part of the farmers. This chair relates to the food production initiative support, the mechanization support, the production inputs that we are providing. And we actually, we commended the farmers, like I indicated earlier on in the report, that there are areas where the department managed to, you know, provide the seeds. And for the fact that, especially because of the late rains, we were sort of trying to caution them to say, no, you don't have to start planting now. But others, they just said, no, we will go ahead, then the rain will find us on the way. Indeed, they planted. When it started to rain now in February, I think their crops are beginning to show, you know, some life. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you very much, HOD. Honourable Members, that's the report on the TOCO. Thank you. Honourable Kruger, Honourable Kappa, Honourable Feltano, Honourable Maloy. Honourable Kruger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and also thank you for the presentation. Madam Chair, about 2 years, 3 years ago, the Small Business Development Department went on an oversight visit in the province, especially in Wembe, and there was talks of a fresh produce market for the fresh produce small farmers, because they sit with a problem in marketing their product. So the question is, how far is this fresh produce market, and did the department in any way assist those communities in financial help to start the fresh produce market? And then also on page 15, Madam Chair, if you look at the on page 15, and if you look
at the value change, this is an excellent example of how cooperatives how you can use cooperatives to assist government. And I don't know if the department even had a look at the cooperative model of small business development, because also we must remember that it's not just about land, it's about creating businesses that can create jobs. And because the IDP say that 90% of all jobs must be created not by agriculture, no, it says by businesses. So we need to get businesses involved to distribute the seeds. We need to get businesses involved to plant seeds, to distribute seedlings to those farmers. We need to get businesses involved to distribute fertilizer and so on. So my question, Madam Chair, is about the department. Do the department study this cooperative model of the small business department so that we can create businesses around agriculture? And then the last question, Madam Chair, there's a cooperative in Limpopo who wants to talk to government about an unbelievable business plan, and it's of economics of scale. It also take it from the seedling right up till the final product in a bottle. So, you know, the value change is unbelievable. But my problem is, or their problem is, the department seems not to be interested in their plan. So my only question is, can I get a telephone number somehow so that this cooperative can contact the department, and then so that they can help this cooperative? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and also thank you for the presentation. What also makes me happy there is I get a sense that the province has some understanding that they are a rural province. They have got it doesn't seem they've got a potential of being suffocated in urban biases. But now there is this question of late deliveries, which is the one which I wanted to mention with Eastern Cape, because when they come with late deliveries, they are done by people who have said that they have everything, and you'll find that by October they report that all procurement has been done. But now when by December, January they are still making deliveries, you get worried. But they are human beings who do this, who make you fail by these late deliveries. But now, unfortunately, again, what is cruel about these late deliveries is that when they tell the office on the ground that the deliveries will be late, they end up going to tell the poor peasants that it's late. We won't continue this year. We stop here. Can you imagine someone has been waiting for the whole of 12 months. Now in January, he is told or she's told that because it's late, the lateness which is done by someone else, we won't continue planting. That is a practical reality. It means that those people who get these tenders and promise that they will deliver in time, something has to be done. Maybe they have to be checked and do that. They should do the right thing. The next one on table, or page 14, on table 2, you have you have got tractors on another table, the 72, which are a guarantee that there are tractors that are available from the department. But you have on another table, you have a huge number of hectares, but you don't have the tractors there. I don't know whether maybe it will depend when people make their applications and so on. But maybe on your experience, you might be able to say how many tractors will be there to cover this, because that's where you have a huge number of hectares. 16, again, you have the distribution of seed and seedlings. I think maybe the non-mention of the division of fertilizers is an omission, because that's one area which is always very important. Sometimes they will give you all the inputs and they forget every other input which is very important, like the fertilizers and the chemicals. In that province, I think there is the potential of the fruit, which I think in many ways I believe it is also contributing in the fact that at one stage South Africa was saying that province has gone up and is above a certain area, a certain level now in poverty, which I suspected that this self-sufficiency of those people in the province has got a contribution. And therefore it says to me that if you find that in one area every household has got a pawpaw tree, in area every household has got a mango tree, in other areas we'll find the one of the nice tree, what do you call it? No, the one, the marula. Yes. It tells me that there is a potential of taking advantage of such in that province, because it will assist in this food security. Now, the last one is on your challenges, the very last challenge, because the other three are made by God. You cannot help them. But the last one, which is of the demand of the mechanization equipment, I think maybe you should come with a proposal, because it's serious. It contributes a lot in all shortcomings in this food security program. Thank you, Chair.
Sultan?
Oh, thanks, Chair. At this late time or hour of the day, one doesn't want to face up to such a depressing presentation. This presentation is not different from what I used to do 10 years ago when I was working for this municipality of O.R. Tambo. Still as flat as we were back then, no progress at all, just producing food to eat, and not a word mentioned about the economic spin-offs, not even the type of beneficiation is spoken of. It's just beneficiaries. And this is what depresses me the most, especially given my comments when we had the report from a presentation from Northwest. I thought we would get, the presentation at this time would reflect an improvement. But anyway, we will have to deal with what we've got with us. You start off by saying that you target communal land and reform projects. And then later on slide 8, you refer to people in your presentation. Now, I don't know whether these people that you refer to on slide 8 are actually individuals who own land privately. Because if that is not the case, it would suggest to me that there is a huge element of discrimination between people who are in communal land as well as on reform projects on the one hand, vis-a-vis people who have got private land. But as I've already indicated, Honorable Chair, maybe these people who own private land are covered, there in, I think, slide 8. So we would need some clarity there. Now then, proceeding on to slide 13, what sort of benefits are these beneficiaries targeted to get? social, you know, is it just food, or are they going to get enough produce to be able to both feed their families as well as have access to sell, which is not what we had back then at Ndinga or Archambo. There wasn't enough for people to even sell in a meaningful manner. A few could very well have sold. This is what depresses me about this, that we still have got a province that just produces food for the sake of food at a cost of 7,500 per person, taking that 67 million vis-a-vis the listed number of beneficiaries. That's the flat part of it, just to indicate to you where I'm coming from. Localized procurement of inputs is most welcome. We appreciate that. And you also appear to be well on target with regard to your operations if you look at the bottom of slide 25 and elsewhere where you give us your quarterly, you know, progression. We appreciate that. So the management of the process appears to be very good. My next question, second last question, Chair, is on slide 19, you say that you do an assessment of farms. Question is, what do you look at when you assess? You have been seen there. We haven't got a clue as to what you look at. And this becomes very curious because on so many occasions in South Africa, you find biased choices when it comes to potential beneficiaries from government programs. That's where I'm coming from. What sort of assessment? Do you look at the land? Do you look at the benefit? What is it? I don't want to speculate. The last one, Chair. Slide 20. You have clubbed together a number of challenges there on slide 20, right at the top. Improved record management systems, lack of tractors and implements, transport to different markets. Although you have not exactly put them, you know, as challenges, but that's the context that comes out. Excuse me. Now, question is, how, you know, also go to the actual challenge of the border fence. You have got, I think, Zimbabwe on the northern side. Now there, my question is, how do you propose circumventing the challenges stated in slide 20, you know, and whose responsibility is it really to make sure that the border fencing between countries is in good order? It may not be that it's your responsibility as this particular sector. I don't want to burden you as such. I would concede if you say that's not our responsibility as this department. But I think our minister might have an appetite, Chair, you know, for this. And he sits in cabinet. He would have an idea because we don't want to see the budget, your budget, being spent on something that is not your primary responsibility. We want to see your budget being spent on production and so on rather than managing, you know, borders of another country. Thanks very much for the bite, Chair.
Honorable Maloy.
Thanks, Chair. Now, Chair, you will realize that my engagement in the morning is different from my engagement in the afternoon. Because in the morning I'm energized. In the afternoon it's a graveyard session. That energy is limited. So it means it's going to be nice now compared to in the morning. Now, Chair, you know my introduction, I think, is different from that of Honorable Field Dani. See, Honorable Field Dani says this report is flat, says nothing because it doesn't cover other things that he said. My introduction says, I think Limpopo has done well. On the base that they are reporting on the base of the template that was given to them by the department. So they are reporting on the base of that template. And I think they've answered all the issues that were raised. But it does not suggest that they must not answer other questions that might be outside that particular template and so on. But we must appreciate this report. I think it does see a lot, at least progress and so on.
And my question will be based on what they've presented. Now, Chair, I want to raise a question on slide 26 and 11, read together. Now, slide 26. Slide 26, bullet number 3. You have agreed with the transferring officer to reprioritize CASP fund to procure insecticides to support farmers and so on. I'm not sure why was it necessary for you to get into this engagement. Because on your slide 11, if you look at slide 11, Chair, where is slide 11? Disaster relief, which is at headquarters, you are not spending money there. You are at 38%. 38% as we speak. It means a lot of money will be returned or something. So I'm not sure why you need to use that money to attend to this matter. Because that money which lies at the head office, it is meant for disaster. Now I know that somebody might want to argue the issue of disaster and so on. And my simple understanding of a disaster, it's a calamity that just occurs suddenly, and which got the potential to cause harm, hardship, and so on and so forth. And if that is the understanding of all of us, what is a disaster, it means we could have just taken that money to ensure that we attend to this thing, instead of just shifting funds and so on. But we'll answer that, you know what happened. Then on slide number 19, I'm also impressed, Chair, that Limpopo did not identify individuals, but they identified entities where there is a number of family members and so on and so forth instead of one person. So it means a lot of people are going to benefit on this project of commercializing black farmers. So I'm quite impressed with that arrangement. But the question I want to pose, the funding for this project, is it from your equitable share or from the conditional grant? All these figures that you're talking about, is it from your own share or is it from the conditional grant? The last question is on slide number 17. You know, I'm worried about Mobani and the rainfall in Mobani, because the presentation says to us, compared to other districts, Mopani is experiencing droughts on a regular basis because there's a problem with rainfall and so on. And I just hope, Minister and HOD, that we are not undermining our own indigenous knowledge system. Because you see, Limpopo, the Queen of Rain is from there. The Queen of Rain is from there. Now, when you encounter some of these problems and so on, you must go back to your indigenous knowledge system and consult some of our own people who know how to attend to these matters. So I'm suggesting that as you go out, go and consult the Rain Queen and talk about Mopani. It can't be like this when the Rain Queen is based in that province. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. HOD, you have not spoken about the agri-parks. We want to know how is the process, where is the process? And the issue that Honorable Kruger is raising on the fresh produce market in Vembe. If you remember, even when we visited ourselves, it was raised and we're told it's part of the agri-park of Vembe. So that's why I'm saying, if we can get the report on agri-parks, where are they, The late adding to the question raised by Honorable Khapa. You know, HOD in Limpopo, this is, it might be the third year consistent with the late delivery of seeds, and it's a problem that it continues, not stop. No one has got interest to stop it. If you remember the last time when you come and present here, we've raised, there was Honorable Masayala, if honorable members remember, who said you in his head, in her area, you've brought the seeds or the inputs in January towards February, and they don't know what to do with them. So, and now you are raising it again in the report, means that there is a problem. It's either it's in your procurement or which need to be sorted out, and the national department must develop interest on that one. Project that we have visited and you still owe us a report, HOD, Mafura plant. We are still waiting the report in terms of farmers that were supposed to be developed and supported to plant sunflower in the area of that area. The issue of abattoir, which the department has spent a lot of money on in Limpopo, we know the challenge was that it was transferred to economic development or LEADED, but I'm told that the MEC that is acting in agriculture is the MEC in that department, so you can get a report. Because I remember, Minister, you and Deputy Minister at that time, you were given task to go and engage the Premier of Limpopo around that abattoir. And there are poultry houses that were supposed to be developed or they've been developed in that area. And there was an outline of value chain which we've not get the feedback. What is happening is just quiet. I think that's something that National Department we would need that report, including the poultry house in Sikukune, which was built for one person, which carries around 50,000 something like that. The other issue that you still owe as a report is the computers of the extension officers that were stolen in the offices. And there is the report on the how you have dealt with the cooperative that I'm told we've lost a member there, which was for disabled people. I think we would not allow that co-op to collapse, particularly because it was meant for disabled group. The issue of the question that I'm having, your hectares, it's reduced, it's been reducing. And I want to recommend that the support that the department you have given to Eastern Cape, today they are at 55,000. do it in Limpopo so that they can increase the hectares, particularly in the areas of where there is potential and the drought in Mobani. Which part of Mobani? Kiani? Because you have just celebrated Marula Festival, and we'll just want to check how many growers have benefited out of that festival, or it's just a festival of calling a musician, and our farmers, are they benefiting out of that Marula Festival, or what is happening? So the last one was the challenges that the smallholder farmers had with Eskom. We have met with Eskom, and there was a willingness to help those smallholder farmers. Just to check how far you went. And just to add on what Honorable Malu is saying, the commercialization of smallholder farmers. You are saying that you're looking at entities and cooperatives, or which is a very good indication. But it will be very helpful as the department will be coming with the framework, understanding the modality of funding those 50 farmers and how long does it going to take, because we don't want the situation of that project of Northern Cape. Since I've been in this agriculture, it has been there, rehabilitated, and no one knows how much goes into that project. So we must have that the modality of funding and exit strategy. And when department comes later to present, we would want that we'll have interest on those areas, that how the framework itself and the modality and all those support. Of course, probably at that time we'd have finished the comprehensive support framework and integrated financial models. So I think that would be very helpful. So HOT and
Thank you very much once again, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I'll talk to the questions in the order that they've been presented. With regard to the question of the Small Business Department, which is linked to the fresh produce market in Vembe, and also how it's LDAT assisting, which is ourselves, which I think links to also partly, Honorable Chair, to the AgriParks progress. Perhaps let me start off by indicating that this is the area of Mwanedi Hub in Vembe. And indeed, yes, is one of our AgriParks, what we call the Farmer Production Support Unit, which linked to the Vembe AgriPark. Currently, what is happening, we're looking at both the production support in terms of primary production for the eight cooperatives, farmer cooperatives that I've indicated earlier on. And again, on the other hand, we're looking at the establishment of a packing, grading, and pegging grading facility. Our contribution as a provincial department of agriculture, Honorable Chair, is on the irrigation infrastructure, the production inputs as well, the farmer training, which include, because it's quite a comprehensive capacity building program, wherein we also have the contribution through the National Treasury's Jobs Fund that are matching the funding that we are putting in as a department. And again, still on the primary production side, the Department of Small Business contributed the tractors and also the, I think, vehicles in terms of assisting the farmers to see to their day-to-day activities. Then on the packing facility side, which we also is also funded by us through CASP, we're putting up a packing facility which will enable them to pack their, it will have, you know, the different vegetable lines for packaging, the grading, and even perhaps some value addition to a certain extent, you know, the dicing and the chopping of the vegetables. It is progressing well, Honorable Chair. Where we are, I think we are happy with the progress that is being made. I think the packing facility is scheduled for completion in April this year, with the commissioning starting around May, June. And on the primary production support side, we're doing it in phases. For 16-17, we managed to do 50 farmers. 17-18, we covered additional 50 farmers. Because we're talking about a total of around 300 farmers in total. So each financial year, we take a group of the farmers and then we put in the irrigation infrastructure. So it's a phased development until we cover all the farmers, especially with irrigation infrastructure, because it's very, very, very critical for them to be able to even produce enough. That will make sure that the picking facility operate to the optimal level. So it is progressing well, and with the assistance of the Department of Small Business, yes, that is the contribution that they make in terms of the, you know, mechanization. They bought them tractors, they bought them, I think, a truck as well, and the two buggies for the co-op to manage the business, because it's 8 cooperatives which have formed a secondary cooperative. So the management of the pack house and in other words, the business side is managed by the secondary cooperative, and that is the one that is responsible for all the especially the vehicles and everything, and even the management of the pack house once it's completed. The model is being discussed with the secondary cooperatives. In terms of the there was a question also linked to that, the co-ops model, involvement of the businesses in terms of the assistance, in terms of providing the services, which I understood, I understood the question correctly, to say is about the provision of support services, you know, your supply of the seeds, the fertilizers, and every other production input that could be necessary. Chair, let me indicate that we do have about, which is actually encouraging, this is about the young farmers. We call them the agro-dealers. It's a group of them. They operate in the far-flung areas of the province. As I indicated, the province is rural, and we do have remote areas where even, you know, the access to the nearest facility for seeds is a bit of a challenge. These young people, they have, and some of them are agricultural graduates.
they sell the production, they stock the production inputs and you know, sell to the or make it available, of course, at a fee or at a cost to the village members or community members in their respective places. So we believe that much as the current supply of seeds and fertilizers is done by, you know, your normal service providers through the tender processes that we engage in, we believe that even through this arrangement of agro dealers, which are partnering with I think it's the FAO, because it's the idea, the concept that was brought by them, and through the collaboration with our sister department, DAF. We think if we can sort of provide them with the adequate support, currently we are not doing much. I think we need to accept or acknowledge that in terms of providing them with the startup stock or something, but we believe that if maybe we can just up our support to them so that they can be able to start up and be able to provide those inputs. The inputs range from your fertilizers, your seedlings, your some of the chemicals, of course, that they can handle, because it's not everyone who can handle, you know, each and every chemical. In some instances, you ought to get you ought to be certified for you to handle such type of chemical. But there are those that they are able to, you know, advise the farmers on, and even, you know, provide that service to the farmers. But we believe that we can still do more on this. We are not doing much as we would wish for. I think this was just a comment. Co-op that need support, and the contact numbers, I think we can be able to provide that contact numbers, or even if we can be assisted to get in touch of them so that we can follow up and check what kind of service will they require from the department. Issues of late deliveries, yes, is a challenge, Honorable Chair, because we find ourselves in a situation where your service providers, as they, you know, accept the quotations or the bids, they indicate and confirm the capacity to deliver. And this is not, obviously, of course, it is influenced by the financial constraints to a certain extent. And at the provincial level, there has been an arrangement with the, I think it's the Standard Bank, which has provided the packages dedicated to the small businesses as a way of empowering them to have that requisite cash flow for them to be able to provide the services. So that was just the provincial intervention in terms of building capacities of the SMMEs. And these suppliers are part of that. But you sometimes, or more often, you still find them, you know, still struggling to use that Standard Bank facility, because the arrangement is that they will take the order that the department has given, and then they go to Standard Bank. The Standard Bank will loan them, you know, that amount for them to be able to buy the stock or provide the service. But still, it's a challenge, which I think I agree. We need to really check what more should be done, because at the point of the acceptance of the order, the capacity is proven, you know, and they can demonstrate that. But with time, you know, other things perhaps happen, then they're still unable to deliver. The omission of fertilizers on slide 16, of course, we acknowledge that we will include. Demand for mechanization services, we were actually even saying maybe we need to benchmark from one of the sister provinces, because, and I think it was Eastern Cape, because we believe that I think the model that they're having in terms of how they deal with, you know, the whole issue of mechanization, perhaps we can learn one or two things from them, so that farmers or community members do not just, you know, sit and wait for the department to come up with either the government tractors or, you know, private tractor services.
what is it that we can, you know, do together with them, you know, to find a way to complement one another, because this is a program that we believe that it will be with us as long as we are not 100% food secure as a country. Will, you know, will be expected to provide this kind of services to enable our communities and farmers to produce. Communal areas and land reform, are these people the land owners? I think this talks to the land ownership, not ownership per se, but the land utilization arrangements, especially in communal areas. We are aware that those pieces of land are under the custodianship of the traditional leaders, and our communities have got the, you know, permission to utilize those pieces. They do not have title deeds for that. And even in for land reform projects, mostly are restitution cases where they are owned either by the CPAs or the trust. So these numbers of the 500 and something farmers are not the actual, you know, landowners, but they do have access to utilize those particular pieces of land. The assessment of the farms that we mentioned, it actually relates to where we are going to place the graduates. We were assessing them to determine and confirm their capacity to host and meet our requirements, because this is a two-year program. These graduates will be with them for a period of 2 years. We would not want to have surprises. So the assessment was basically to check whether this enterprise or this commercial farming enterprises have got capacity to meet our requirements, basically. And also linked to that, on slide 20, the challenges. These are just a summary indicating the challenges that are confronting the smallholder farmers. And if we talk about commercialization, it can't succeed if we do not address these challenges of record keeping and the like. Border fencing, I'm looking at my acting DG. Of course, we are not funding any border fencing, and it's not also our responsibility as a province to. But I think DG will respond to that. Reprioritization of CASP and the disaster of the... Okay, the slide on the disaster. The reason we consult the National Transferring Officer is because in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, we need to get their approval in terms, because we will be changing the originally approved business plan. So we need to go back and engage and reach an agreement so that they allow us to refocus the funding, because the funding was not initially approved for this. Mopani challenges, Honorable Chair, yes, again.
That statement, you know, Minister, you've come here and say that you've produced, you have instructed provinces to use the 30% of their cash to respond to issues of drought assistance. So I just want us to be very firm in terms of responding, because now you are telling us another story. Minister.
Thanks. I think the acting DG may add. My understanding is that there is a national assessment committee that sits not only Bobo to look at all farming worm in areas where it has been found. My understanding was that immediately it is, because you cannot wait for a meeting like this before you act, because any time spent would be dangerous. I would prefer where, as we have done before, we present a formula of how do we spread the funding, other than it being done by another area, because we have to account for every cent spent. And I'm sure last year, because I was saying that too when we were outside, once you get a detection of a fall armyworm, expect that there will be a residue, either in the egg form, that may reappear. And it is better to do it when you are doing the initial process of de-weeding, so that the growth is still. I'm saying this matter must be taken up because there is a national coordinating committee on drought led by our scientists and others, sorry, on fall armyworm. And I wouldn't like it to be province by province. It should be a national coordinating entity. And if a decision is to be taken as to how much is spent, it is not left to an individual to decide. For accounting must be at national level, as we have done before in the last outbreak. I didn't know that this was the arrangement that provinces will decide, because time is of the essence. Any time we spend after detection without applying the remedial, we know now that we have got 40 pesticides that have been identified. What we need is just to mimic. I'm sure that even if ADG doesn't, I think that team needs to meet and come with a proposal of how we fast-track the spending. Because I was really under the impression that there is already that agreement that either we have procured or provinces will procure, but that it is still waiting for somebody to approve is really worrying, and I agree with Chairperson that it is one area. I mean, I was speaking on the radio on Monday, and the view I get was that wherever it is detected, there's a team that is dealing with it nationally, and the provinces have to act immediately they pick it. I'm sure ADG may add.
Actually, DG, what we need to clarify, and thanks Honorable Maloui for raising this question. You see, the minister make a statement that prioritized part of CASP to respond to the disaster. At that time was a drought. It was drought. You came after with Dr. Mudisa, Honorable DG. You gave a report on the spread of the fall armyworm, and you, as Minister is saying, said you established a team, you are going to require money from Treasury. So now you have the CASP again used for the same purposes. Can you clarify these things so that we don't have this confusion in our mind, so that we understand what we are dealing with?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The issue, as explained by Limpopo, is correct in terms of how the issue has been dealt with. And I think that even last year, that was the very same approach that was taken to say, based on not having available funds then, there was an issue where Minister gave the instruction for us to reprioritize funds and use those funds to deal with the fall armyworm. The one that Honorable Chair is thinking about, where we got money from a national treasury, was around avian influenza, where we got 40 million just to deal with the issues around the avian influenza. And the process in terms of that is that then the province engages with the national transferring office. I think what might need, and Minister just touched on it, what might need urgency is that it might not necessarily need that there is that discussion between them, that it needs to be done, because this issue around the fall armyworm is an emergency issue, and then it can then be regularized in terms of the national transferring officer. But at this moment, in terms of my understanding, and this is what Honorable Maloui had raised, the money that sits in different provinces in terms of disaster
is for different areas that were touched on. If you look at, for instance, you look at the Northern Cape, they've got almost 111. That is for building the flood happens that are there. And in terms of Limpopo, there might have been a disaster that they are dealing with. So it's post-event money that is currently lying in their different budgets. It's not money that is meant to deal with immediate disasters that are there. In terms of those immediate disasters, we still use almost the old system where we reprioritized within the current allocated budget. What Parliament had indicated the last time around was for us to explore. And I think it was from Honorable Chair to say that part of the CASP money that we need to have must also be utilized and set aside for emergency funding in terms of the disasters that we might face. I think that's the area that I needed to touch, Chair. Chair, quickly maybe also on what Chair had asked was the issue around the international census. The international fences are meant to safeguard the integrity of the country, and those are also borders of a particular country, and in this case South Africa would have an international fence. Now, from an international fence, you would have also animal disease fences, which might be some few kilometers away from the international fence. Over years, what has happened is that you would find an animal disease fence also being used as an international fence because of the maintenance issues that are there in terms of countries. But we have taken this matter up with the DPW to say that it is their responsibility to deal with the fences that are there. And there is work that they are currently doing. We had a meeting with them last month in terms of the work that they are doing with international fences, Lesotho, dealing with Mozambique and others, to say there's work that they need to do so that as the animals come through, they are dealt with at two levels, the international fence and also the animal disease fence. As the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, we are responsible for the animal disease fence. And we get part funding from the DPW. But the major fence that we need to take care of is the international fence, which is meant to safeguard the integrity of the country. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Minister.
I will say that tomorrow, DG, a letter should be made so that I can instruct that the requisite funding be used and possibly only for all farmingware, and accounting therefore as to how many farms, the amounts and the rest, so that we can give a report very soon. I don't think we can wait for another week because that thing is devastating and spreading. If we don't stop it at this age, I mean, by the time that maize have grown, the damage will be, and I'm sure we can give it a chance to expand beyond the areas. I think what that if the letter, as we have been doing before, can be something I can sign and give to all provinces, because it's not only Limpopo. I think even now we have found that only the two provinces that are currently not having it, which is Northern Cape and Western Cape. We need to make sure that even other provinces respond accordingly.
But you see, Minister, to work like that is still a problem because you're supposed to know that you have a problem when you budget. And I know that the Disaster Management Act says every department must budget the 1% of its budget for emergency. So I expect that the Limpopo province was supposed to use their 1% first before they go to national. So, and because now we have a challenge of climate change, in our budget we should actually include those the outbreaks that might be we might face, or the management of diseases that might be created within by the climate change, and your patterns of rainfall might be different. So I think it should be included in the budget. You don't want this arrangement of money just go
somebody writing a letter after we've passed the budget. We've passed the budget for a particular purpose. So I'm just saying it should not happen like that, Minister, even if you are... but if there is a necessity, you know what, there is a legislation that allows you to do those things. But I'm saying we know that there is a problem. In the near future, there must be that process of budgeting for those disasters. Can you wrap up, Ochoti?
Just for completeness, on whilst you're on this aspect, because I don't want to go back to it. You know I'm still not answered because I referred to slide 11 and I referred to disaster relief, which you have budgeted for. It is budgeted for, it is there. And I said to them, they are not spending it, they are at 88%. And they have this problem, which they are still discussing with the transferring officer. I was asking, why are they not using it? Because it is there. It doesn't need them to talk to anybody and so on.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and the members and Honorable Minister. Indeed, the one on slide 11 is still the conditional grant, which is legitimate. And maybe to the provincial allocation, Honorable Chair, we are acknowledging and we take the input. We have set aside, I think it was just around 3 million every year. Of course, it's not adequate. We must acknowledge. Every year we make provision from the equitable share budget for disaster, and that we had already exhausted, and the request was actually to augment because we needed close to around 9 million. I think if I can go back again to the Fall MUM slide. And maybe also just to clarify that we had actually started the process, the consultation and agreement with the National Transferring Officer, of course, as the legislation says, just to regularize, but we had already procured, if you check the presentation, currently 22,500 liters of the insecticides have already been bought. We are saying because the DORA is clear, because we'll be spending outside what we had planned, therefore we need to get their concurrence. But we take, Honorable Chair, the input on that, and we agree as far as disaster is concerned, especially as Limpopo, we are unfortunately or fortunately prone to any disaster that you can think of. If it's not the armyworm, it's the drought. If it's not the drought, it's the localized flooding, you know. So indeed, we had an endeavor and we came up with the disaster implementation plan, which would also talk to the resources. And of course, we will engage accordingly in terms of how do we fundraise for those resources. Maybe to wrap up, Honorable Chair, let me maybe apologize because we were under the impression that the reports subsequent to the visit did reach Mayor Gagasa's office. But if that is not the case, I think we will still make them. We can resend. But maybe just on Mafura, Honorable Chair, the farmers were just constrained by the fact that the equipment itself has not been bought, the one that will now the refinery for the edible oil, because what we were looking at was that one of the biodiesel, but we have concluded the specifications now. This coming April, we should be able to advertise. We've concluded the design because our engineers had a bit of challenges in terms of getting the designs right. Maybe that's where the challenge was and which cause has caused the delay, but Mafura project is still on course. We should be able to conclude it in this current financial. It's just that that equipment has to be imported. On the Lebohomo Abattoir and the poultry houses, yes, we're still grappling
Honorable Chair indicated we need to acknowledge where there is a problem. We're still grappling with the abattoir together with the Limpopo Economic Development Agency. They had appointed the operator, I think early 2017-18 financial year, and the engagements that have been taking place now were around the operating model. And we believe that once that is concluded, we should be able to even get our farmers to to even increase their placement of the poultry houses. But perhaps maybe just to summarize by indicating that the reports that have been outstanding, I think from the chair it was the reports that were outstanding from the last visit, which I think we should be able to resubmit.
Thank you very much, HOT. We want the reports that give us the updates on those projects. We have indicated that the project that we have visited, until they are concluded, they remain our business. So whatever moves every now and then when you report, you must give the update on how far are you with those projects. And we must acknowledge the good work that we have done in Naledi, particularly because it was a presidential project. We want to appreciate, and we'll appreciate even if you can give us the report on the Pedwane, the presidential project in Pedwane. Yeah, you still remember the Pedwane fishery? Yes, yeah, so we must get that the feedback, how far we with those projects. Honorable members, the dinner has been ready from 7 o'clock, so we're going to adjourn for dinner, which is at the old assembly, and come back for Gauteng and the Western Cape and KZN. They're still here, KZN. Nikon. Ukona HOD? Oh, okay. Go on then.